Thank you once again for this time of study and preparation. And as we sang tonight, that the Lord utters His voice before His army. We believe that one of the ways that you speak, Father, is through your teachers and through your preachers, and that you bring us instruction, you bring us guidance, you bring us direction, you bring us exhortation, and we'd ask you to speak to your army tonight in that way. Through the Word of God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now, we've been talking for the last several weeks about personal evangelism or soul winning or sharing your faith or whatever you desire to call it. As we've been talking, we've been using the theme scripture from whose letter? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. The Holy Spirit said through the apostle that every believer was to be in a ready state all the time, that he would be able to give answer to any and every person that he sent across your path who asked you why you're like you are, and why your attitude towards things is so, and why you're a Christian, and so on. And that we need to be adequately prepared, that with reverence towards God and meekness towards our fellow man, that we would be able to give an adequate answer. At the same time, we've said we're going to learn how to do church visitation. Last week, we learned how to take off our coats and sit in the corner, and how to do some of the mechanics and the some of the specific mechanics in home visitation. Tonight, we want to talk specifically about what to say and how to say it. Now, just by way of review, remember that all of the folks who visit with us, we give a copy of this little brochure, which explains a little bit about the type of worship that we have, the worship experience that we enjoy every time we have service, because so many folks who come to our services have never been to a service like this. In each one of these packets is also a brochure on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Normally we use this one. And also a little booklet on salvation that only uses salvation clear and plain. I believe that's what we're using now, aren't we, MC? We have some other documents, and normally we use in here. We're out of them, so we're just using these tracts right now. And we said last week that in making these calls on folks who have visited with us, that we wanted to go out two by two, that we were not going to telephone for an appointment because it's so much easier to get turned down over the telephone than it is in person, but that we were going to make a personal call, and if it was convenient, we were going to have a simple introduction. Who knows what we would say now at the door? This, you're at Mr. Rutherford's door, and you have, and Mr. Rutherford comes to the door, and what would you say? You missed a great meeting last week. What would you say, Mrs. Schallenberger?
I would say, I'm Joan Schallenberger from Water of Life Christian Center. Isn't that the way you said it?
Yes, very good.
And I would like to call to talk to you tonight about our church. May I come in?
Okay, that's good. That's very good. Someone else would say something differently. Okay. All right, what she said is fine, but I'd like to refine that just a moment, and I'd like to take a few words out of it. Let's see if Lois got it.
Good evening, Mr. Rutherford. I'm Lois Rockhill from the Water of Life Christian Center, and this is Bob McDonald. May we come in and visit for a few moments?
Okay, that's much better. I'll tell you why. Generally, don't use the phraseology, "I would like to." Because as a practical matter, people are not generally too concerned about what you'd like. Frankly. I mean, that's just the way it is. Be more direct. Don't tell them, "I'd like to," but rather say, "May I?" It's just so much smoother. It's not a big deal. And I don't mean to make a big deal out of it, but if you're going to learn something, you might as well learn it just right. Okay? Good evening, Mr. Rutherford. I'm Vic Rockhill from the Water of Life Christian Center. Must say that distinctly now, see, because it's an unfamiliar name. If you were from First Baptist Church, you could say First Baptist Church. They pretty much know. But if you say Water of Life Christian Center, they don't know. So you really have to be distinctive now about what you're saying. And this is Lee McWilliams. May we come in and visit with you for a few moments? Just that directly and that specifically. All right, now once you're inside, what are you going to do and what are you going to say and how are you prepared for the call and what should you expect and so on? First of all, let me explain to you that you're going to find basically three kinds of situations when you get in the home. One kind of situation is that the family, the husband and the wife are both saved, they're spirit-filled. You're going to find that out pretty quickly into your conversation, and pretty soon into your visit, you're going to find out that this is a beautiful brother and sister in the Lord, and that what you're going to experience in your visit is simply a time of sharing, of getting to know one another, and perhaps explaining a little bit about what we're doing here at Water of Life, about the ministry. Do we have Sunday school? Yes. What kind? How do you do it? What ages? What do you do on Wednesday night? Do you have a ladies' Bible study? Do you have for the children? How about your nurseries? I saw you had a school down there, some academy or something. What about that? I've got a four-year-old child. Do you have a kindergarten program for that four-year-old child, a pre-kindergarten program? You'll get questions like that. Tell me about your pastor. Tell me about your other people there, perhaps, that they observed at the service. Different things like that. About what we're doing in ministry and about... they might wonder where all the money comes from and where it all goes. And you get questions like that. And basically, it's a matter of sharing what God's doing here at Water of Life. And you have that kind of a visit. The second kind of a visit you'll have is with a person who is saved, but not spirit-filled, and doesn't understand what happened at the service when they were here. And so they're going to have lots of questions about the Spirit-filled experience, about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, about tongues, about singing in the Spirit, about hand clapping, about laying on of hands, about falling under the power, about things that are different from a traditional church service that you experience in a charismatic service, a full gospel service. So you're going to have folks like that. They're born again and they love the Lord, but they just have lots of questions. They've heard about what's going on down here. They visited. They don't understand, and if you give them an opportunity, they will ask the questions. You have an opportunity to answer them, perhaps lead them into the baptism or prepare them for, at a time, subsequent service, they'll answer an invitation and be baptized in the Holy Ghost at the altar. The third kind of contact that you're going to have, these are the three basic kinds. You get all kinds of variations, but basically these three. The third kind is where you find the people are just not saved. One or both of the people aren't saved. They may know they're not saved. Most generally, they don't know that they're saved. They're church members and they think they're saved. And you may sense that in the beginning, but you won't know for sure until I show you how to find it out. And then you'll want to know how to minister the basic salvation gospel. All right? Have you got those three basic things? Now remember, you're visiting for the Lord in the name of Water of Life. We are one of His churches. We are primarily concerned about this person and their relationship with Jesus Christ. If we meet somebody who is not saved, we want to lead them to Christ if we can, or give them one additional witness and provide some additional insight into the Scriptures so that when the next guy comes along, they'll respond to him. If they decide they don't like full gospel churches, if they decide they don't really like all that fanaticism or emotion or whatever they want to call it, they decide that they don't like the color of our building or that the pastor doesn't have much hair or that we don't have robes on our choir or whatever it is, you know, that people don't like about churches, and they want to go to some other church locally, then that's all right. That's okay. I believe what we're doing here is as good as is being done anywhere around here, and I don't think you could invite anybody to a better place than here in terms of the kind of ministry that they'd get and the kind of growth that they'd experience. On the other hand, I don't want you to feel that it's your obligation to drag people into this church. What I want you to know is that you're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You are carrying the Water of Life Christian Center on your card, so to speak, but you're an ambassador for Christ, and your primary objective there is to minister in that home for Jesus. All right? If they're not saved, you lead them to Christ. The Holy Spirit will tell them where to go. Are you with me? If they're saved, but they're interested in a deeper walk with the Lord, or they want to draw closer, most people don't say, I want a baptism, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What they say is, I just want to get closer to Jesus. Or they'll say, I just want to go deeper. Or they'll say, I know there's more. Or something along those lines. When you hear anything like that, they need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so you lead them, begin to lead them in that direction. Now, once they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, they may decide they don't want to go to church here. They want to go to Mount Paran because they've heard that's where everything's going on. Or they, their aunt Lucille goes to a church over in Smyrna. And they'd like, now that they're like their Aunt Lucille, they'd like to go to church with Aunt Lucille. That's all right. See, you just touch them for Jesus and then let them go where they want to go. And encourage them to go somewhere. If they're really saved and they really love the Lord, they won't be satisfied to sit in a dead place very long. Now, they may go sit there for 6 months or so, but they won't be satisfied to sit there for long if they're really seeking God. If they're not seeking God, they're not going to do him any good through this ministry either. Are you understanding kind of what I'm saying here? If they're born again and they're spirit-filled, then you want to be... You won't be as much an ambassador for Christ in that sense as much as you are simply a brother or a sister giving them some information about what's going on here, what other churches are available in the area, what you know about them, and that sort of thing. Okay? Now, every one of your calls, remember this, every one of your calls starts the same way. No matter what the condition of the people are, you start out the same way. Don't make any assumptions. Don't make any assumptions. Well, I don't think these people are saved. Or, yeah, I saw them raising their hands in the service. I noticed that family, and I thought I'd like to go visit them. I noticed them raising. They must be filled with the Holy Ghost, probably just in love with the Lord. Not necessarily. They may have grown up in a Pentecostal church, see? Decide that's all right. I know a lot of Pentecostals, church members, who aren't saved. Well, they can clap their hands and lift their hands, but they don't know Jesus. See? So you don't want to make that assumption. You can have a person, you can really get yourself in a lot of trouble if you assume because somebody came into one of our services and was like a prune that they weren't saved. Because you get a person who is saved but never been in a service like this, it's just too much for them. They, you know, really can't, a lot of folks, they just can't take it in. Even people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in other tongues, but have never experienced this kind of worship. They can almost appear to you as if they are unsaved. So do not judge the whole book by what you see on the cover or by what somebody else tells you. When you go in, if you know nothing about the family, it's just as well as if you know a lot about them. Every call will start the same way. Now, let's talk just a moment about preparation, and then we're going to talk about the call itself. As far as your preparation is concerned, there are basically two things you need with you. One is you need your Bible. I like to use this one if I'm doing visitation that I think is going to involve evangelism. It's not quite as threatening as this one. See, when you carry, now I'm not ashamed of this, don't you misunderstand me, but this, you know, if you carry this one, you could be called a Bible thumper. And if you go into a house where maybe the lady has been here to church, the husband didn't come with her, but you go into the home and the husband is, Lois and I were at the car dealers the other day and we were talking to the fellows, the service advisor there, it's over in Atlanta. It turns out he lives in Douglasville. And I told him that, he wanted to know where we live, so and so. And I told him I was the pastor here at Water of Life. And he said, my wife and girls go down to that church in Bel Air. All right, now there's a situation, see, the wife and the daughters go to church. He doesn't. Now, what if you called on that home? This could just scare him right out, just right out of the den. But if you had this, you see, that wouldn't frighten him. But it would only be a tickle of the finger away, you see, just inside your pocket. Now, I bought this Bible expressly for this purpose. I bought a King James Bible. Because a lot of people will not believe any other version. Now, they may understand the Living Bible better, but they won't believe it unless it's full of these and thous, because that's what they studied in their Methodist or their Baptist Sunday school back when Grandma made them go. And so I like to use King James for this purpose. Once you get them saved, and once they know that they can trust you and believe you, then you can give them a living testament, something they can understand, in order to help them, you know, go on and read. But if you're going to witness to people, they understand John 3:16 the King James way. They don't understand John 3:16, the New International, the New Jerusalem, the Living Bible, and so on. So if you're going to use for evangelism, you want a King James version. It's extremely rare that you'll find somebody that will respond better to something else. Generally, you want a King James version. And a New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs is usually adequate. A New Testament all by itself is usually enough. It ought to be big enough, small enough to fit into your purse or your pocket, but large enough so that when you're sitting next to somebody, they can read with you. Now, some of the little small Bibles have the words so small that you have to read like this, and somebody sitting next to you, they wouldn't be able to read it. And when you're sharing God's Word with somebody, you want them reading the Scripture with you that they know that what you're reading is correct. I can tell you that there is a greater power. There's more anointing. Why? I do not know exactly, but there is a greater degree of anointing. When a person reads the Word of God for himself out loud, even if you can recite it to him. Now, I don't know whether it's the additional senses that are used, but there's substantially more impact. It has, obviously, very much more credibility because he's reading it for himself than when you just spout it off, even though it may be exactly correct because you've memorized it. Secondly, when he's reading it and he hears himself read it out loud, people generally tend to believe themselves more than they believe a stranger. And you believe your own voice, if you understand what I'm saying. So a King James New Testament that is small enough for you to carry in your pocket or for you to carry in your purse is, I think, an invaluable tool. If you don't have something like that and you can't afford to get one, then carry your big thumping Bible. That's all right. Just have it with you. But I think this is so much more helpful. The second thing you ought to have is tucked away. You ought to have a selection of tracts, not knowing what you're going to encounter there. You ought to have some salvation tracts. This is Salvation Pure and Clear and Plain. This Little Miracle of New Life is an excellent book for an intellectual. This is written by Bill Bozanski. It's on the new birth, and this is for persons who are seekers after truth. You find an intellectual person, this is an outstanding booklet to introduce somebody to the new birth who has it all up here. This will really cut through that. These little booklets are good. This one, Receive All That God Has to Give, is an excellent booklet. It's got salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, and the whole package in it. This one is a good one, How to Walk in the Spirit. It has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is a very good tract to leave. It's actually a booklet to leave with somebody who has just received Christ. This tells you how not to go off the deep end after you've just been born again. This is a very good booklet. This is an excellent book. A brochure, rather, in dealing with people who believe that tongues are not for today. Excellent. On one side is these are all the traditions, and these are all of the questions that you are likely to ever hear about tongues. And on the right-hand side is what the Word of God says. Good tract, an excellent tract. And then these are some healing tracts. Copeland's healing book and there's others. But you ought to have a selection of good tracts like that. All right, now, inside, This is for the one who is standing at the door, and when he or she is knocking, it's kind of, gee, I hope they're not home. Gee, if she comes to the door, what am I going to say? Is the one whose knees are knocking louder than the knuckles are on the door. Those pieces of paper that I gave you, one of them is designed for you to take some notes on. The other one is designed for you to cut and to paste into the back of your Bible like this. Now, there are three little pages there. You see them? And this, you just take that and get you some glue, and in the back of your Bible, there are usually some blank pages, as mine had, and so I just pasted that in the back. And this is how I learned how to do personal soul winning. And then, you see, if I forget where I am and where I want to go next, then I've got it right there. I just turn to the back of my Bible and see where I am and just go right on from there. Now, I would do the same thing in terms of leading somebody through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just put that in there too. Now, I don't have that material for you, but if you like, we can put something like that together, or you get some material and write it down yourself on the back page. But I want you to take one of these and cut it up and paste it in your Bible. And the other one you can use to take notes on. All right, now, let's go to the call itself, and let's see, having been prepared with the right kind of tools, the same way a concrete finisher wouldn't try to put a good finish on a basement floor with a screwdriver, you're not going to try to lead somebody to Christ without the right kind of tools. And that's why you need your Bible and some guidance there. I told you that every call starts the same way, that you begin your call and begin the introduction there the same way. This is not, let me tell you this, as I told you last week, this is not the only thing that works. This is not the only way that you can do it. It is a proven way, a tried way. It does work, and it will give you a guide, something for you to use until you get so comfortable with this that you really believe that Jesus is holding your hand, and you really believe that the Spirit of God is in you, and that you really believe that when you open your mouth that He will put in there what these people need to hear. When you know that, then you won't need this anymore. But this is designed to get you to that place, all right? So I would just encourage you to use it, and use it in that spirit. This is, as I say, not the only way to do it, and it's not something that I'm legislating. Please don't misunderstand that, but it's a guide for you, and if you don't have anything that you believe is better, then use this until God gives you something that's better, all right? And this is the way it worked so very nicely for me and for others. Number one, if you don't pray, don't bother calling. If you're not going to make this call a matter of prayer, then don't bother to make the call. Pray before you go that God will use you and that He will prepare the way. Now, when you come in and you've said, Mr. Rutherford, may we come in and visit for a few minutes? And he says, certainly, come on in. And you come in and you have been appropriately seated, and you're there in the den or the living room or around the kitchen table or wherever it is that you're going to be seated. What do you do now? Do you wait for them, or do you... Who's supposed to be in charge and who's in control of this visit? We are. We've got to take the control of it. And so you should begin the conversation. I'll tell you why. If you let them begin the conversation, it will almost never be about the Lord, the church, anything spiritual. It'll always be about the kids are filthy dirty. Gee, I just got back from Bill Arp, you know, at the Little League thing. Gee, did you see what the Sixers did to the Lakers last night? That kind of thing. You know, just small talk that doesn't get you anywhere. Now, it will be appropriate for you at this point to have a little small talk and while you're getting the family gathered, but let me tell you what to talk about. Talk about them. Find out how long they've lived there. Find out how many children they have. Tell them what a lovely home they have. Talk about them some, all right? Not about things of no import, but begin to gather a little information. Where did you move from, if there are new folks in the community? Find out a little bit about them. And then you very quickly, when the things kind of settle down, you got the television turned off and you're ready to get down to business, you go to number two. You want to find out about their church background. People are much more open to talk to you about their church background than they are about their spiritual experience, generally. A person who's born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost is going to be just waiting for the opportunity to tell you about how much he loves Jesus. But you're going to find the high percentage of the people that you find, you're going to have to draw this out of them because they're not at that place in their relationship with the Lord. And here are two questions. Are you a church member somewhere else? And the second one is, tell me about your experience there. Now, what can you determine, if you ask that question, what can you determine by a person's answer? What would his answer reveal? Roger? Okay. All right, more important than that, though, Mike. Okay, and the things that they found to be important in their church experience. Oh, it was a wonderful church. We had the most tremendous pastor. He preached the word of God. Oh, it seemed like every time I went to church, I got something, you know, that was really terrific. As opposed to, we had a fantastic softball team. Our pastor played shortstop, best shortstop. I mean, that guy, he only made one error all last season, you know, tremendous guy. Or, yeah, loved that church. Pastor, just a regular Joe. I mean, you know, you could just really get next to him and just a great guy. One of the boys kind of thing, you know, begin to get some. You begin to get some insight there. Tell me about your experience there. You begin to find out, was this a family that was regular in their attendance? Is this a family that was a once a month Christmas and Easter member? Is this somebody who is regular in that? Did they really know what was going on? You begin to find out where they were in their previous experience. You don't need a lot of detail here. Are you a church member somewhere else? And your answers will very often be like this. You have talked to me. Are you folks new in this area? No, we've been here about 13, how long, honey? About 13, 14 years now, something like that. Yeah, I think that's right. Are you folks a member of a church elsewhere? Yeah, my letter is our old home church down in Augusta there, you know. And you know right away what you've got. I mean, don't you? With rare exceptions, you find a lot of people like that. You find a lot of them just in that condition. But you see, when you ask them the question, they don't realize what that's revealing because they don't discern the same way you do. But are you a church member elsewhere? And then tell me about your experience there. Yes, we're members at the First Methodist Church over here in Douglasville. Well, tell me about your experience there and a little bit about your relationship to that ministry there. Well, we hadn't been in quite a while. The last time I was there, I think the pastor was, he died about 4 years ago. And you'll get that kind of thing, see. Now, this is not embarrassing anybody, but you're just having conversation. But the conversation is directive. It's not idle conversation. You are learning things about this person so that you can effectively minister to them. And you begin not to judge the person, but you begin to make some judgments on the basis of what the people speak. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you listen for a while, you're going to find out whether you don't have to judge them as being saved or unsaved. By their own mouth, you see, they will judge themselves. They don't know it, but you will know it, and you're learning how to discern that right now. That's what this is all about. You're learning how to take a person's temperature and how to find out where they are spiritually, what's important to them about their church. You will have people who will tell you about the experience they had in their last church. They may have been very faithful church members, and they will tell you, when you ask them about the church, just a real active church. We built a $3 million education and fellowship wing just before we left over there. Now you find out just what's important, don't you? Just what's important to them. What they tell you describes to you what's important to them. And you begin to make some decisions here about the person's spiritual experience. All right, now after you've talked about that for a little bit, now if you don't get the answers you want, then you might ask them, what kinds of things did you participate in there? If they, tell me a little bit about your experience there. The nice part about that question is it's real open-ended, and it's not directing them to give you a specific answer, and they will give you the one that comes to them first, and then that tells you where they are. Now you want to get a little more specific, and you want to ask what kind of worship, sir, if it's a church that you're not familiar with. Well, tell me a little bit about that denomination, or tell me a little bit about that ministry. Is that an independent church? Is that a full gospel church? Is that, tell me a little bit about your worship service. Well, it's kind of like yours, or it's a little bit like yours, but it wasn't quite as, and so on. And so you begin to now discuss that with them. What involvement they had as far as Sunday school and that sort of thing. Did the whole family participate? Now, you're not grilling them. You are making conversation. Okay? Questions about that so far? All right. The next step, then, is you want to ask them about, you want to get their impression of our church. And here are two questions that will give you the impression. One is, specifically, how did you choose Water of Life? How did you come to visit us? Just find out, well, they have a friend who is a member here. You know those people. Now you have a connection there, don't you? And you begin, okay, now this, all right, yeah. Well, Roger and Janet Aldridge are our neighbors. They live in the next street over there, and we see them once in a while. They come running, and our dog bit them one day, and, you know, we got acquainted that way, and they began to, our dog licked them one day. Yeah. Our dog greeted them affectionately one day, hey? And we just got acquainted, and they invited us down to the church, and we were there. And so you know then, aha, Roger and Janet ministering to these people, aha. So you begin to get a little feeling now of what's going on there. How'd you come to church? Well, we just looked it up in the Yellow Pages, and when we saw that dove on the cross there, we knew, see, that that's where we wanted to go. Or we looked up in the Yellow Pages, and we saw there you proclaiming to all the world that Jesus is Lord. And anybody feels that way, we just feel like we're kin to you. And so you see what's beginning to happen now? Or, well, you know, for a long time we've been passing by your place there, and we've heard some things, kind of some strange things about your ministry and all, but didn't really know what was going on. We just thought we needed to come in and find out for sure what was happening. And so that's how they came in, and so you begin to find out. And then ask them this question, what was your impression? And now you're beginning to get a lot more specific now. Oh, praise God, brother. It was so well. I felt the Spirit of the Lord so in the service. Or, well, it was, I guess my wife said it probably as well as, what'd you say, honey, about it? they'll say, well, it was different. Or they'll say, well, everything people say about you aren't true or isn't true. Or, it was very similar to, I went to a holiness church with my grandmother years ago, and it was kind of like that, but I don't remember exactly like that. You begin to get a little, you know, and you can see what's happening now. Aren't you getting more information about the person? They're doing most of the talking. You're questioning, and you're finding out about them and finding out where they are. Be watching both husband and wife now, because you're going to find a situation where the wife is really turned on, and she's sitting there hoping that the husband will positively respond, but he's dead in the water. And you pick up on that. You can see where she is, that she's hoping, and he's just not giving any response at all. And it's best when you ask these questions, if they do not give you a joint answer, that you ask them separately. Oh, that's nice. How about you, Mrs. Rutherford? What was your impression? To get the impression from both and let them talk to you. You would be amazed what is hidden behind a very calm and expressionless exterior. Sometimes you will get a roaring volcano back there. Other times you will get a burning Holy Spirit fire. But unless you ask, you see, it won't come out generally. So you ask and make sure you find out where the people are. Now you're going to begin to get specific, and this is where you get a good little bridge here. Let's suppose you want to begin now to give your own testimony. You're going to give your personal testimony of a little bit about your relationship with the church, but more importantly about your relationship with Jesus. And here's where you're really going to get serious with these folks. It's been kind of light up until this point, but now you're going to begin to get down to basics. And so when they say to you, you've asked them, what was your impression of the service or the church or what have you? And one of them will say, well, you know, I've just never seen, I've never seen people that were so happy. Now that's a common expression. And then you say, you know, that's the way it struck me when I first came. And you know what I found? And you begin now to describe what this ministry means to you. Now, if you don't think what we're doing here is any good, if you don't think this ministry is accomplishing what God wants us to do, then please do not do church visitation on behalf of the Water of Life Christian Center. If you cannot go forth and proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior of the world and the answer to all of men's problems, then don't witness for Jesus. If you can't go forth and tell people that what God is doing here at Water of Life is good, then don't go forth in Water of Life's name. All right? Now, when you do go forth, you ought to have a personal testimony. Well, I'm glad you noticed that. A lot of people noticed that the people seem to be so happy. You know what struck me the most when I first came was I noticed that people had a genuine love for each other. It just all over me when that first day when I was there, and I had never seen people like that, people that weren't related, and it was like a family. And it would just amazed me, and it seemed like every time I came back, the first thing I found out, I could become a part of that family. And so you begin, you see, to give your own personal testimony. Don't give somebody else's, and don't drum something up that's not real for you. But you give your own experience and your own testimony about what happened to you when you first came here, and what have you discovered since you've been part of the ministry, see, and part of this work here. And then you bridge from that into your relationship with Jesus. You know, I found, as you're talking about, as I've just been describing, you know, I found that when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, I just had to have a place where the family, where I knew I was part of the family of God. And I searched for a spot like that. Would it be all right if I just shared with you how I came to know the Lord? And then you begin to give your personal testimony. First of all, you give a testimony briefly about how you feel about the church. Then you give your testimony how you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I was raised in a Christian home, but I didn't know Jesus, and I was in church all the time. My family raised me in that way, but I had never had a born-again experience. I was religious, and I tried to do right, but I just didn't have the ability to do it. And briefly, and you should be able to give your testimony relatively briefly, I prayed, and I was here, and this is what happened. I invited Jesus to come into my heart, and my goodness, He just completely and totally changed me. He made me a completely new person. It's been now 7 years, 8 years. I hardly remember what that old person was like, but I do know I don't want to go back to it. And then you go on and share how you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and go on and just give your personal testimony. Now, it's very important that you do this. If you are not willing to give your personal testimony, you are not likely to win very many people to Christ. When you share your personal testimony, when you open up your heart, do you know what that will do to the people you're talking to? It will open theirs. Now, if you ask them first, brother, you saved? You been born again, sister? Like street corner evangelism. You're not going to touch very many people that way. They're just going to clam right up. They're just going to tighten right up on you. But if you will expose yourself first in a belief, this is why lay visitation is many times so much more effective than pastoral visitation. See, they expect the pastor to be turned on to Christ, but they don't expect you to be turned on. You're something different. You really are. You're different. And when they encounter you, they don't have any explanation for you. See, I learned all these things in seminary and in college and in all my experience and all my many years as in the pastoral ministry and everything, and they expect me to be able to rattle these scriptures off and turn the pages and to have a testimony about Jesus, because all pastors and old ladies are like that. I mean, isn't that right? Isn't that right? That's the way so many people feel. But now take a strapping young lad, you know, or this is some normal appearing people, people that seem to have it kind of together, and they begin to share these things. Now that's something the person get a hold of. When you share your personal testimony, and it does not have to be, you should be able to give your personal testimony in a few minutes. I'm not talking about 20 minutes worth. I'm not even talking about 10 minutes worth. You should be able to do it in less than 5 minutes. And if it's longer than 5 minutes, it's too much. You have too much detail in there. Give them just the basics. Give your personal testimony. Then after you have given your personal testimony, then you go to step four, and this is the kicker. Tell me how you came to know Jesus Christ. Now that's a reasonable question, isn't it? Because here are Mr. and Mrs. Rutherford and Mrs. McWilliams and I, and we're just sitting here casually talking. We've been sharing, and it's been so nice, and they've been telling me how they're members at the First Methodist Church in Augusta, and that they were involved in the Sunday school program there and everything. I've opened my heart up to them. I'd never met them before, but my heart is just wide open, and I've told them what an awful mess I was and how Jesus has now become Lord of my life and how He's changed me. And so now I say, in the course of the conversation, tell me how you came to know the Lord. Now, if they're church members, they ought to have a testimony. But you're going to be amazed at how many people do not have a testimony. When you ask them that, now you listen very carefully, and this is where you are really taking their temperature. You're going to find out where they are. You're going to get a testimony that you just know, that they know the Lord. And they've been sitting there kind of chomping at the bit. They'll say, I thought you were never going to ask me. Or, they'll stumble around because after you've shared yours, they may recognize that theirs isn't quite like yours. They may give you what this is. You will frequently find this. People who are members in traditional churches. Now, I don't mean to paint all those folks with the same brush, but this is very commonly the case. You will find people with an institutional testimony, and this is what I mean by an institutional testimony. Well, I was raised in a Christian home, and I was baptized when I was an infant in the Third Presbyterian Church in Detroit, Michigan. And then my father he changed jobs, and we moved to Indianapolis, Indiana, and we became Methodist there because the Methodist church was right around the corner. We joined the Methodist church there, and I was in the Sunday school all the time. I was president of the MYF, the Methodist Youth Fellowship, and so on there in my senior year in high school. And then when Susan and I were married, she was Lutheran, and we moved to San Diego, California there. And we went to the Lutheran church, didn't really like that. And she went to the Presbyterian church, and they didn't really like that. And so we found Episcopal church that some friends invited us to, and we went there. And it was kind of nice. You know, they have communion every Sunday in that church, and we really enjoyed that. And then we moved here 13 years ago and just couldn't find anything that we were suited to. And you know, you get that kind of a thing. Church to church to church to church. It's an institutional testimony. They most likely, very rare, would a person with that kind of testimony know Jesus Christ personally, because the most important thing in their spiritual experience is their church relationship, not their personal relationship with Jesus. Pick up on that now. Pick up on that. All right? Now, you get their testimony. Do not quiz them too deeply. Just listen to them here. Now, I hope you're taking notes now on this cheat that I'm telling you. Listen to them and just discern with what they're telling you. But don't quiz them. Don't give them the third degree. It's not necessary at this point. Just get what testimony they have. Now, generally, at this point, you will go one of two directions. You will, if you are absolutely and totally satisfied in your spirit that both this husband and this wife are born again, they know Jesus, there's no question about their salvation. You have a witness in your spirit. Their testimony is bold and concise. It's not necessary for you to go any further as far as this outline is concerned. But if you know that they're not saved or you are unsure, then you go to number six, and these are the critical questions. These two questions, now these are not original. These are the questions that are used in the evangelism explosion ministry from the Coral Ridge Church down in Florida. And many books and seminars taught using these particular questions. These two questions will almost invariably give you a definite answer as to whether these people are saved or not saved. I have never found anything any better than the use of these two questions. They are absolutely Holy Ghost given. And they will definitely, in almost every case, very few exceptions, tell you whether or not the people are saved. If you have doubts, when you get the answers to these questions, generally your doubts will be driven away. With the time the way it is, I think we'll not go into the questions themselves. Please bring back with you this material next week, at least the one copy that you are writing on. The other one, you can go ahead and put in your Bible and start using it if you feel like you know enough to go ahead and do that. But at least bring the one back that you have been writing on, and we're going to start next week with this key element, which getting the questions and then how to present the gospel in a very simple and concise form. Before we close, let me ask you if there are any questions about what we have talked about tonight. Did I confuse you, or did I give you anything that was of help? Anna? Just ask him directly. Just ask him directly. If your question was, are you a member of another church? And Mrs. Ofi was giving you all, if she said, we are members, but you weren't sure that meant the husband too, because of the vibes you were getting from him. Just, you know, it really didn't feel right, so to speak, and you just didn't sense the witness of the Holy Spirit. Then you might say to him, does that include you, Mr. O'Fire? Are you a member there also? I mean, that's a reasonable question and certainly wouldn't offend him. No, I'm not a member. They're just my wife and my daughters. Or, yes, I am too. But you do need that information. And so just go right ahead and ask him. If you're asking the question, what was your impression of our service? And she's talking, you know, and she's telling, boy, I was excited. I thought surely I died and gone to heaven. I was just so blessed. And the husband is sitting there, and you can see the beads of perspiration beginning to poke out on his forehead. And you say, how did you respond to the service, Mr. O'Fi? Just ask him directly. And it'll be very difficult for him not to answer you. Remember this, when you are asking these questions, remember this very simple principle. Most of the time, you will want to ask what is known as open-end questions. Questions that cannot be answered with a yes or no. An open-end question is a question that begins with the word how, what, when, where, why, if. If I were to ask you a question that began with any one of those words, could you answer yes or no? What time is it? Where's your son? Where was your church membership? What was your impression of our service? How did our service impress you? So you can't answer yes or no, can you? If you said, did you like the service? You get yes. Are you a church member elsewhere? No. And after about 20 minutes of that, you know, you don't know anything. Because all you've gotten is, you need to draw the people out. And you can always draw them out with open-ended questions. And an open-ended question always begins with one of those words that I've just given you. This is good for you to remember that, not only in personal evangelism, but just in personal conversation. When you meet somebody here at church on a Sunday morning, I think some of our people are hesitant to greet new visitors because you don't know what to say to them. Or you've tried it, and you got a yes, no, answer, and you were standing there like a bump on a log and didn't know how you were carrying the whole load of the conversation, and it embarrassed you, and so next week you made it a point to avoid all visitors. I think a lot of folks are like, because you just don't understand this phase of it. But if you will ask some of these kinds of questions, you'll get the person talking, and people like to talk about themselves. If you get them talking about themselves in this way, they'll really begin to open up and you can find out where they are. You must listen to what the mouth speaks in order to know what's in the heart. But if the mouth doesn't say anything, then you'll never know what's in there. And so this, what we're doing here, is designed to first of all, relax the people, to begin to develop a relationship between you, and also to begin to draw them out so that you can see where they are, so that you know how to minister to them. Can you see now why it is so important that you only have one talker and one silent person? So if you're following something like this, you need to know where you're going. Question here.
What if the people just get real obviously rude or hostile? Even how far should you go? When do you quit?
Don't press them. Don't ever press them. Jesus didn't, and don't you. It is not your responsibility to play Holy Ghost, to bring them under conviction, to tell them, don't you know I'm God's anointed and you're going to be in trouble, you know, if you don't treat me right. Don't you know that the Bible says if you give me a cup of cold water, it'll come to your blessing. And it's the same thing. If you receive me, you receive Jesus. But if you don't, of course, you're turning him away. We know all those things, but it's not important that they know that. You are there to bless them and you're there to minister to them. And if things do get too hot, if you will do it this way, I've never had anybody, you know, get hot. I've had them say, no, I don't want to, but I've never had them get upset at me and say, how dare you? Nothing like that. If you will do it this way, you won't have that problem. There'd be no reason for anybody to come on you that way unless you were dealing with somebody just filled with demons and they got your number as you were coming up the sidewalk. You could have that, perhaps. Other questions about as far as we've gone? Would you feel comfortable going into somebody's home and talking like this? Let me see your hands if you would be. I'm not asking you to make a commitment, just express your, yeah. Okay, I'm not trying to sucker you into anything. I just want to find out where you are, and just, I want to take your temperature, see how you are receiving what we're sharing. Mike? Yes.
Because if you go in and it just sounds real canned like that, and that you're uptight about it, that you're not comfortable with it, and that you're just bound and determined that you're going to get some kind of results, and if you don't really talk to them, if you're not generally interested in them,
in them. Oh, you betcha.
Right off the bat.
If you know
that you're just interested in your plan.
That's right.
If
all you want is a notch on your Bible, they're going to pick up on it real quick. Or if all you want is a new member for the church, they're going to pick up on that real quick. But if you are genuinely interested in the person, they'll pick up on that too. Anybody else quickly? Yes. I think we can cover that at near the end. Yeah. Bring that up if I forget.
Basically the same questions. If you were to die tonight, where would you go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'd say, well, heaven. Well, how would you tell somebody to receive Jesus if they wanted to? It's like, I know you don't know this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that they were going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real, you know, it puts you...
You're on a defensive, sure.
Yeah, you know, and I just thought, you know,
mm-hmm.
think of something to get them out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't listening. They were just trying to get you in a corner or something.
There are a great many people who are witnessing for the same reason that they got baptized, and that was it's a requirement. Their church requires that they do a certain amount of witnessing, and that they learn how to witness, and that they do it, and so they're going through that. There's such an emphasis placed upon it that the spirit is wrong, and that's very true, and that does more harm than good. Yeah. Okay. Let's close now with prayer. Father, thank you for what you're showing us. And we believe that you will establish in us such a beautiful, loving, caring, concerned attitude that when these people just behold our countenance, even before we speak our words, that they will recognize that we genuinely are concerned about them, and we represent a Savior who is concerned enough to die. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Amen.